Oddly enough, at the beginning of the war, and this would have been the case with almost any statesman or politician in any civilized or Western country, we had a policy of not bombing civilians or populated areas. It was something that was just considered beyond the laws of civilized war, to the extent that war can be fought in a civilized way. The international law had come very close before 1939 to banning the bombing of civilian areas. It didn't quite ever get ratified, but the general view was that it was entirely wrong. And the transformation of this view in civilized countries to one of almost gung-ho delight in the bombing, deliberate bombing of civilians is extraordinary. The Germans certainly behaved with extreme savagery, but people were infuriated and distressed by it when they saw the consequences of it, and rightly so, because it is a disgusting form of warfare to drop high explosive and incendiaries on people in their homes, which seems to me to lead to the next question. If you think it was so bad for them to do it, and if you've found the application of it to us and the terrible consequences of it and the deaths, as I say, of civilians, including women and children, in their homes under bombardment from the sky, then how can you possibly justify doing it yourself? Mm. You can't, is the simple answer. Certainly not if you're conducting anything remotely resembling a Christian war or imagining that you are in any way governed as a country by Christian morality. People argued very strongly against it at the time, including the late Bishop George Bell of Chichester, who stood up in the House of Lords and said, what we are doing is totally wrong and we shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, and we should point out that Bishop George Bell, the Church of England bishop, he was not a pacifist. He didn't say there was never a case for war. He was quite selective in his criticism. I mean, selective in a good way.
He took military advice from Basil Littlehart about what he was going to say. He was very careful. And what's more, what he said in public reflected, interestingly, a secret struggle in Whitehall, which C.P. Snow wrote about in his Godkin lectures, over whether the bombing was militarily justified. By the way, you mentioned Hamburg and Dresden. I have to tell you, it was far, far more extensive than that.
Let's stick with the morality of it, because one thing that I really learned from your book was that many of the cities, particularly Hamburg, that were carpet bombed, had in fact been the sort of last holdouts inside Germany against the Nazis. So in many respects, the Allies were bombing the people who were resistors as much as they could have been in Nazi Germany.
That is true. I was recently in the lovely old Hanseatic town of Lübeck, or what's left of it, which was selected deliberately as a target because it contained so many beautiful old wooden medieval buildings and they wanted to see how well it would burn. And Lübeck had been so opposed to Hitler, it refused to let him visit in the days when he was still campaigning rather than actually became chancellor. It had been a centre of opposition. Hamburg, again, very much a social democratic and pro-British city. But of course, the other point about area bombing was that to be effective, it had to be concentrated on densely populated working-class areas. It was no good bombing middle-class suburbs because the houses were too far apart. A lot of the explosives were wasted and the fires didn't spread. So the people who were bombed were more or less those who had been the last ones to continue to vote Social Democrat against Hitler, which many people very bravely did, even after it was clear that Hitler was in power. And these were the people who we were bombing. You can argue all kinds of things about German civilians, though I often wonder whether those who say, oh, that they supported Hitler or they didn't resist him, how they would have behaved under such a regime with the Gestapo in their towns. I wonder how brave they would have been themselves. But you simply cannot argue that small children and babies, who are inevitably in quite large numbers the victims of these attacks, can possibly be made responsible for the actions of the regime under which they lived.